I bless you all. Good to be with you. I've been preaching for 39 years, and I'm as excited tonight as I was the first time I preached. Amen. I'm glad to be able to. I'm just shocked when people call me to preach. You know, I don't get out much, but thank God for West Virginia. I preached at Barclay Ridge United Baptist Church, I think it was. Don't matter about shingle, but way up on top of a mountain, when I got up on top of that hill, I found WOWK Tower and I found WSAZ Tower. You're close to God when you're up there. Amen. And so that was earlier this month, and now I'm here. We've had a great week. I know you all have. We've had what we call day camp, and I was so glad when Brother Dave called. I said, I think that's our day camp week. We take our kids out to a national park there at Vesuvius and take them up there for 3 days. And then the fourth day, if they come all 3 days, we take them to Camden Park. So we got soaked up there yesterday. And I said, what do you have open? He said, all of them. I said, thank God, I'll take Friday. And I couldn't have picked a better night to come because I love bluegrass music and these guys have done it. Amen. I've enjoyed this, and I was profiling a little bit when he said he didn't know if everybody liked bluegrass. I thought everybody in West Virginia liked bluegrass. Amen. Amen. Well, I've yacked enough. I'm going to ask, Brother Tanner Bowles has been with me all week. He's put up with me. He's heard every joke I've ever come up with. I've talked his ear off. All the way down here. I'm going to ask him if he would to pray for me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to come to your house and lift up your name and praise the Lord. I pray that you just be with Jeff here today, Lord. Give him the words that we need to hear, Lord. I pray that if anybody here hasn't given their life to you, I pray that tonight will be the night that they surrender or all give their heart and life to you. And strengthen us Christians here today, Lord. I just love you and thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Have your Bibles open, please, to Romans chapter 5. Book of Romans chapter 5. And I'm thankful for this little cordless mic, because tonight, if I feel like it, I can get out from behind here. When I'm taping radio and I'm taping television, I've got to stay right here, and that's one of the hardest things I have to do. I've kind of gotten used to it, but when I get out and about, I just go back to what I know best. And so I'm glad you'll be able to hear me, not that you'll need a microphone. But in Romans chapter 5, I'm not preaching anything new to you tonight. If I was, you ought to run me off. Amen. But Paul writes to that church of Rome, and at the time he's writing, he's never been to Rome. Peter is accredited as starting the church in Rome, but actually I think Paul did. Paul's seen so many people saved in the Gentile world. And I think he expressed his desire for Rome, that every time they begin to go out, they'd go back to Rome. They'd go to Rome and start a church and start believers. So really, Paul was the one instrumental in the church of Rome. And so he writes to this church. He's longing to come to them at that time. And you all that read your Bible, you know he ended up there. And that was the place of his death, that he would die there in Rome. But he writes and says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm preaching a very simple message tonight, because that's all I know, on Jesus loves sinners. Thank God. Did you notice in our text what he called us? He called us there, first of all, we were without strength. We thought we were something at one time, remember? We thought we could win the world by ourselves. We could whip the world. You know, our theme song was, I done it my way. But then Jesus come a-knocking. We were without strength. We couldn't help ourselves. He said also He talked about if for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. What's he saying? We're still not good enough. We're not good enough. And then he called us outright sinners. Jesus loves sinners. He loves him. In that text that we read, we find how much he loved us. He loved us enough to die for us, to give his life a ransom, to take our sins and nail them to his cross and carry them all away, thank God. He loves us. Oh, thank God how much he loves us. Oh, I forget the comedian, but he told a story about how that he, as a young man in church camp, how that they began to pick on a little guy that was a little different. You know, you do that when you're boys. Hopefully you outgrow up when you become men and women, amen. And he said we'd make fun of him and pick on him and kind of deter people from picking on us. And he said one night, I could hear him across the compound. He was hollering, "Good news! Good news!" And all the way across, that's what he was saying, "Good news!" And when he got up, he said, "Jesus loves me." Woo, that's good, isn't it? That if the whole world's picking on you, the whole world wants nothing to do with you, Jesus loves you tonight. He loved you enough that he gave his life for you. He went to the cross knowing what he was going to face. He knew what was going to take place. He predicted it all. He said, "I'll be betrayed. I'll be put in the hands of the Gentiles. They'll beat me. They'll crucify me. But the third day, glory to God, I'll rise again." And thank God he kept his word. If he doesn't rise from the dead, we might as well serve Muhammad. Any dead God you want. Amen. But we serve a risen Savior. Amen. And you know, the old song said, "You know how I know he lives? He lives in my heart." You'll know when you know him. Amen. They said that old John R. Rice said one time that if you're 99% sure you're saved, you're 100% lost. Brother, it's a 100% deal. You know if you're saved or not. And you're not saved by your own works. Paul said that to the church of Ephesians. At Ephesus there, he said that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received from the tradition of our father, but with the precious blood. Oh, thank God for that blood. Jesus loved sinners enough that he would die for them and go through the torture and go through the agony and go to the grave and come out on the third day. I say glory to God. But he's also a friend of sinners. Amen. No wonder we can sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Amen. We have a friend in Jesus. You may not have a friend in the world, but Jesus wants to be your friend. In Matthew 11:19, it said, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." You know what they're saying? He's too friendly with sinners. Now, he wasn't a drunkard. They even considered the grapes still on the vine as wine in that day. New wine is not intoxicating wine. That's grape juice. That's what we drink. Amen. We drink grape juice. At our church, I don't know how you do here, and I'm not trying to step on toes, we use 100% Welch's juice when we take communion. Did you know that was the intent of why that juice was ever made? Dr. Welch wanted to offer something besides alcohol at the Lord's Supper, and he made a 100% proof grape juice to serve there. That was his whole idea of coming up with that. And that's what we drink. Jesus wasn't drunk at any time in his life. He wasn't out here doing the things of the world, but he was associating with sinners because you can't reach them if you don't talk to them. Amen. Oh, my. Scribes and the Pharisees, you know how they are. I mean, they're just all up the up. On a rainy day, they're able to drown their noses so high. Amen. But in Luke 15:1-2, Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners For to hear him and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, they said, you see what he's doing? He's not over here with us religious folks. Religion will kill you, fam. Religion will bring death. Jesus brings life. And brother, he was associating with them, and he was being a friend to them. And when they heard Jesus preach, the Bible says that he spoke as with authority and not as the scribes. Amen. Got to have some power from on high. Amen. I promised Brother Dave when I talked to him the first time, I said, I'll be praying for that meeting. Every time I could think of it, I'd pray, Lord, bless those other preachers, bless those singers, bless that service, crown this service with souls being saved. I've been praying, I don't know how many weeks, and asking God to bless this meeting tonight, because if you're lost tonight, Jesus wants to be your friend. Amen. He's also a guest of sinners. He wants to go home with you. Probably the best known account is in Luke 19, though Zacchaeus. In verse 5, it said Zacchaeus made haste and came down. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And when they saw it, verse 7 said, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. I'm glad he called me. Amen. I was as good a church-going kid as you ever seen in your life. I had no choice. I was a captive of Christian parents. My daddy was a pastor from about the time I was 4 years old and on. It wasn't a fact when Dad didn't come home many nights from work. He just stayed at the office, and Mom would bring all five of us kids to church. God love her. God love her. And she'd bring all five of us, and not a one of us ever said, do I have to go to church? If Dad was home and we was all going together on those rare occasions, the question was not if we're going to church, which car are we getting in? Amen. We knew we was going to church. City Mission gets accused of having too much church. You know, we have Sunday school at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. That's an odd time, but it works for us. It has for almost 72 years, so I think it's working. Then we go back at 7 o'clock, and then we're there on Tuesday night prayer meeting, and now we're there on Wednesday night young people's meeting. But that's not all the services we have. I couldn't do all the services we have. On Sunday, my brother pastors, so he has three services. He has Sunday school and morning worship and Sunday evening. I have two men in my church go to jail every weekend. They go there on Sunday morning and preach the gospel. They get out of that service, they rush up about 3 miles up the road, go to a nursing home and have a rest home service. While the jail service is going on, we're over to one of the high-rises and they're having Sunday school there. I'm telling you, we just believe in going to church. Friday nights, our men right now, well, they're out now because they don't go as long as I do, but they have a nursing home service tonight. Every Friday night, they go up there to a nursing home. You know why? Because they realize that for you to know that you could be a guest of Jesus, they got to get the invitation. Amen. And we've seen folks saved in the jail. We've seen them saved in the nursing homes. We've seen them saved wherever you take this gospel. And Jesus, you know, looked up at old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was trying to hide in the tree. He was up there just wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus stopped and called him by name and said, come down. Tonight he may be calling your name. You may be hearing that knock upon your heart. You need to answer that call tonight. See, I didn't read verse 6, but it said Zacchaeus made haste and came down. And brother, there was a change in his life from the top to the bottom. Amen. I mean, he slid down that tree. He was just a little short guy. I'm sure it seemed like a long distance to Jesus. You know, when people sit in church, they think that altar's a long ways off. But once you make that first step, you don't remember the rest of them. Amen. I had a lady that she afraid of crowds. She wouldn't get up in the crowd. We had a church of about 60 people when I was pastoring somewhere else. And she said, I just can't get up in a crowd. I just can't get up. And so we dealt with her and I talked to her. And it was a couple of years later. It was awful. She'd been her fella that she was living with, and he was in the hospital, and I dealt with him, and he prayed with me there in the hospital. And a couple of years later, I'm still talking to her as often as I can. I call her Grandma Dot, and I got talking to her, and she looked at me, and if I hadn't been driving, I think I'd strangled her. She looked at me, and she said, "When you talked to Leo, I prayed at the same time." I said, "Then me and Jack Lassiter talked to her and said, you ought to make this a public profession of faith. Let people know." Here's the good part. Cal Ray was having Jubilee down at the Scioto County Fairgrounds. About 1,200 people. She stepped out and made her public profession of faith. I tell you, it don't look so far away. The devil put everything in your head. But when Zacchaeus hit the ground, he come up and said, "Lord, I give half of my goods away. If I've cheated anybody, I'll pay him back fourfold." You know what I think? I think the man was broke. He may have had to went and borrowed money, but he got rid of everything, but he gained Jesus. Amen. Amen. We sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything," but do we really? Amen. And then he's a seeker of sinners. He went home with Zacchaeus. Amen. He went home with Matthew, and Matthew made him a great feast there and invited other publicans. The publicans were awful people. Don't confuse them with Republicans or a Democrat. Okay? I'm not here to talk politics. But they were people who had sold themselves to the Roman government to collect taxes from the Jews. They were as low as you could go, I guess, next to a harlot. I mean, they were probably lower than a harlot in that day. But you know, Jesus went home with him. Amen. And you know why? Because he's seeking sinners today. The Bible said in Luke chapter 19:10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know what's wrong with people today? And I'm not trying to be critical, but it's truth. You can't get people lost anymore. Amen. You can't get people lost anymore. Well, I'm as good as that person. Why, I know how many hypocrites are in that church down there. I'm better than they are. Hey, you ever heard that? Yeah. I pastored that same church I was telling you about. I pastored there, and I just a little bit too bold sometimes, I guess. But the last pastor had left there, and he'd been there about 13 years. He probably preached so hard he made some people mad in the neighborhood. And people said, well, they said they wouldn't come back till that pastor was gone. I said, I've been here about 5 years. Won't you tell him he's gone? Amen. People just look for an excuse to stay gone. That's why we got to go seek them. That's why we got to take the light of God's love out to the community and tell them about Jesus and invite them to church and let them know they can come and worship and there find Jesus sweet to their soul. Oh my, where the Spirit of God has freedom. I pray so often when I'm asked to pray that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will have a free conduit to run through, no blockages there, and be able to go from heart to heart without interruption. Oh, my, thank God. But you know why he's seeking sinners? He's seeking them for them to repent. Matthew 9:13 said, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's what he came for. A lot of folks are coming for a lot of reasons. I remember, I'm old, so I remember things back in the late 70s and 80s. I mean, I've been preaching since 1977. As a 14-year-old boy, I started. And so now some of you can figure out how old I am. But but my birthday hasn't come this year yet. So I remember a preacher tell me, he's a little bit older than me, but he wasn't preaching as long as I have. But he said, you know, Jeff, the problem is they're saying, come to Jesus, he'll pay your bills. Come to Jesus, he'll give you a job. Come to Jesus, he'll put your home back together. They need to be telling them, come to Jesus, get right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Brother, I tell you, God can bless you, but what he wants to do is save you. Amen. Amen. He wants to save your soul. He wants to speak peace to you. And he went seeking sinners for repentance. And he's come to give you rest. Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." 12-year-old boy laying on the bottom bunk in the back bedroom on the left-hand side, as lost as you could be. I thought I'd been saved, and I got away from God that summer, and I done things, and I could tell you, not grossed out sins, but I wasn't living the life I should. I wasn't, to some people, I was living like a preacher's kid, but I wasn't living like this preacher's kid. And, you know, and I thought I was having a good time. And I feel like God spoke to me 2 or 3 different times. My brother and I was walking down the road. We lived 3/10 of a mile up a road, and then you went out to the highway, and another 3/10, he was at the grocery store. And me and him, my oldest brother and a neighbor boy, my brother said something like this. He said, "Wouldn't it be something a truck come through here and lose control and kill us all?" I thought I'd faint, because I knew right then I wouldn't make heaven my home. But you know what I done? I shook it off and went on. Then Dad was preaching one night in church, and he said, "Wouldn't it be nice if the rapture just take place and take us all home?" I thought, "No, it wouldn't, Pops. It wouldn't be good for me. I know I'd be left behind," but I shook it off. That night, laying on that, in that January night, 1975, laying on the bottom bunk, my brother's is just above me. Our other brother's laying just above me. He's sound asleep. I didn't know how much I was weeping. I didn't know how much I was crying. I didn't think anybody heard me. But let me tell you what God done. He made me come to Him. Let me tell you, how many of you mamas would hear your kid crying and not get up out of bed? Mom said that she remembered hearing me cry, but she never got out of bed. You know why? I kept saying, "God, bring them to me, and I'll get saved. Bring them to me." And they never came. I don't know parents that wouldn't get up to see what's wrong. But I know I got up that night. It seemed like eternity. I walked out that door, made a left-hand turn, went about 2 steps, made a right-hand turn, opened the door, and they said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I want to get saved right here." Amen. You know why? Jesus come looking for me. And I say all that at this point to tell you, when I went back to bed that night, I slept good. And I may have sleepless nights, but it's not over sin. Amen. I mean, there's things that come on our plate that causes us to lose sleep sometimes. And you worry, and you shouldn't worry, you know, preacher. You ought not worry, just believe God. Well, you tell my subconscious that. Well, it's just part of us, isn't it? When we don't know how God's going to work it out. Sometimes I think we're like I was in high school. The paper, the school paper, had this column about like an Ann Landers. You write in a question, they answer. Well, I didn't understand that concept. I didn't read Ann Landers, Dear Abby, or any of those others. And so I wrote down my question, and right below it, I wrote down my answer. I think we try to do God that way. "God, here's my problem. Here's how you can fix it." Right. Amen. Right. Now, He says, "I know what you need. Just trust me." Amen. Amen. He wants to have fellowship with you. In Revelation 3:20, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me." Amen. Amen. Now, I understand He's talking about a church right there, but I also understand that could be an individual too. But He said, "I'm standing there knocking." You ever seen the picture of Jesus standing at the door knocking? You probably already know this. It's a dark scene. That picture's sin. There's thorns growing up around that. That's the deeds of your life. But did you ever notice there's no door handle? The painter's friend said to him, "But you forgot to put a handle," and he put his brush back down. He said, "No, the handle's on the inside." He stands knocking. You've got to open the door. Amen. He's not going to make you. He can get you under conviction where you'll be so miserable you wish you had been saved, but He won't make you be saved. You can do what you want, but you're going to have to pay one day. You're going to have to face God. That's why He says, "I'm knocking right now." Amen. Amen. He come to give us freedom. In John 8:36, He said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. Free indeed. Oh, oh, thank God, we can sing, thank God I'm free. Why? We're free from the shackles of sin. We're free from the burden of sin. All that burden lifted. And you know, he does something that no president can do, no governor can do. When he pardoned somebody, she pardoned somebody, they cannot lift the guilt of the crime that they've done. But when Jesus saves you, the guilt is all gone. I say glory to God. Amen. I know I deserve hell. I know that I done wrong. But then it's as if God says in the words of that old song, what sins are you talking about? You know why? They're covered by the blood. Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what he done with them? Well, the Bible says in one part, he cast them as far as the east is from the west. And they never meet. He said he dropped them into the depths of the sea. And someone said, and every time Satan comes around trying to fish them up, God puts down a no fishing sign. Amen. And then it says that he cast them behind his back. He's not watching. He's not looking. He says, they're covered. They're gone. You can be forgiven tonight of whatever you have ever done in your life. But he come to be the Savior of sinners. He come to be your Savior tonight. Bible said in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul writing and said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I grant you, as far as crimes, as far as sin, Paul done more than I did. I never killed anybody. I never drug anybody off to prison. I mean, I never made people blaspheme the name of Jesus. Huh? Yeah, he was pretty rotten. But he said he saved me. And if he can save Paul, he can save me. Amen. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what Jesus has done. He paid it all. That's what that sign says there. Jesus paid it all. Paid in full. Absolutely gone. But you've got to let him do it. See, the only way he can be your Savior is for you to see yourself as a sinner. Amen. See, over in Romans chapter 10, and I memorized a lot of verses, but now I'm getting older, I don't feel comfortable just quoting a lot of them. But in verse 9 it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess you're a sinner, he'll bring you forgiveness of your sins. See, in Luke 13:3, he said, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But preacher, I went to church all the Lord, I went to church all the time. Your name's not in the book.
Amen.
There's a lot of folks who go to church. A lot of folks. We had men that came to our church over the years. One man left this world and never left a public profession of faith. I'll leave it at that. I don't know. He was sick a long time. He may have done business with God. I don't know. He didn't always come, but his wife always came. He let her come. She's still coming today. And we had another man. I never seen a more polite man in my life. They were an older couple. Their kids were raised. And she didn't drive, but she wanted to go to church. He took her to church. He didn't drop her off. He sat with her. And I think he was the man I seen one night step out in the aisle and then go back to his seat. I mean, this gentleman, you couldn't ask. He was there for every work day at the church. When we used to have work days, put a roof on a mission building or something, or do anything, cut down trees, he was there. He was a good carpenter. His wife would say something to him and ask him a question, and it was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But that didn't make him saved. Finally, in his latter years, he called for Dad to come. For some reason, Dad usually drops everything and goes. But he didn't. And a day or two passed, and he got ready to go down, and someone said, Dad, you don't need to now, Jim. Really made him feel bad. You know what he wanted to do? want to give his heart to the Lord. When Dad didn't get there, he found someone else to talk to him about it. And he got right. You can do all the work you want in church, and you all have done a beautiful job with your church. And there may have been unsaved people that's worked on this building, but that won't get you to heaven. Jesus says you must be born again. Amen. You know, the thing to point out is that these Pharisees and scribes kept saying, that's a sinner, and that's a sinner, and that's a sinner. They never said this is a sinner. A lot of folks like that, isn't there? If you find yourself as a sinner tonight, you realize you're not saved and you're not going to heaven, you ought to do it tonight as we make ready the invitation. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, save some lost soul in this service tonight, and help us as Christians to grow ever closer to you. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. 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 As we stand, they'll play an invitation. Would you come? Would you come and kneel at any of these altars and ask Christ into your heart and into your life? Why don't you come? Don't tarry. You don't have to wait till they start playing. You can come right now. Give your heart and life to Christ. Would you do that?